Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a 5-Minute Friday. It's the end of the year. What are top 10 things that will mess up your face in 2024? I'm going to give you all of the beauty tips that you need to follow to avoid messing up your one and only gorgeous face. So listen up. Now, with this new year coming, we are going to be very wise about the things that we do to our faces, because when you go for a quick bargain, that's what you're going to get. You get what you pay for in life. And let's not forget it. There's so much cheap Botox fillers and procedures out there, and so many tawdry, cheap, and trendy things that people do to their faces that I really want to encourage everyone listening, my patients, my nurses out there who are injectors, let's stick with tried and true and classic. Let's not be people who seek trends and try to throw them on our faces. Following trends without personalizing to your facial beauty and your facial identity, this is one of the main things that's going to mess up your face in 2024. So I definitely recommend for patients, when you see an aesthetic trend in TikTok, on Instagram, in social media, because all your girlfriends are doing it, don't necessarily jump on board that train until you've done your research. Following aesthetic trends without considering your individual facial anatomy and your needs is a recipe for getting a Picasso face. I lecture about this all the time. If you go to one clinic for one thing and another for another thing, you see this trendy injector for a third thing, guess what results you're going to have? A Picasso face. And I love Picasso, but modern abstract art does not belong on your face. We want beautiful harmonization of your facial features and your identity. So don't follow trends without personalizing them. Number two on the list, choose the right injector. And I can't say this enough. You need to know people's credentials, especially when you're trusting them to your face. This is your one and only face. Imagine how much effort you put into your hair. You don't just go see any stylist for your hair. You don't look for who's charging the cheapest dollar price for a haircut, color, highlights, right? Do you? Because I have people call the office all the time asking for what's our unit price on Botox. And if they don't hear a number that they want to hear, they keep shopping. Like, that's not how you shop for your face. Toxins are quick, easy, and cheap. And they're found everywhere. In downtown LA, you can get them on every street corner, and probably you can even buy them on illegal marketplaces and Amazon, all kinds of crap. I am not a fan of going for the cheap. It's not the toxin, it's the person administering the Botox. It's the credentials of the person. It's board certification, it's training and experience, right? I can put a paintbrush into two people's hands and come out with a completely different painting. And while we can teach paint by numbers, sometimes we can't teach being an artist. As much as you might want every child in your family to be a wonderful artist, you know that some children are just born with really artistic hands and eyes and skills. Amazing what an artist can do with a blank canvas. And others, they try to be very methodical, geometrical, follow the recipe, follow the dots, connect the numbers, and things just don't have that harmonic beauty that speaks to you. So I don't know how to tell you to find it, but I do know that you need to choose the right injector. And for me, probably the best tried and true way for you to do this is to seek experience. You don't want someone who's doing their fifth lip injection on you. You want someone who's done 500 this year. And the more we do with our hands, the better we become. And so all of us beginning in this injector life, we start with no experience. Including me, I started there too. And I learned it very much the hard way, but with great surgical training as my standing point. Like, that was my starting point. And not everybody has that. These days, injectors literally can take a weekend course. They can take a 2-hour course and get a signed certificate that says they're certified to inject your face with neurotoxins that can paralyze muscles and affect facial nerve and drooping positioning. For 3 to 4 months, you can have consequences of this. And if you've ever had some bad Botox done, you know what I'm talking about. You learn very quickly. It's not worth saving a few dollars. So see a really qualified injector and look at their training and the number of years in practice and how busy is their schedule. It's hard to get in to see some people, including myself. And that's okay. If you're someone who needs in and out fast food service, you're not my ideal client. And also you're not willing to wait. You have needs. I get that. But if I go see my injector, I wait 2 to 3 hours. I'm okay with that. I bring things to do. Art takes time. You can't rush someone when they're working on faces. And also you want someone who's in high demand, who's really a master of their craft. So remember, all good work takes time and experience. Number 3, don't overvolumize. Resist the urge to add too much volume to your facial features. You sometimes need to be super subtle, and subtle is the new sexy. And I think that subtle is the way to go for most faces. I've been practicing this technique of doing an 8-point lift using one syringe with a sprinkle all throughout the whole face. And so I think that subtlety in our injectables is super important. And building the face foundation with biostimulators, collagen production, these things will minimize your overuse of hyaluronic gel fillers. I love a good filler. Filler is always going to be a necessity for us. But depending on the volume in your face, it has to be placed precisely, and we can't overdo it. So those of us who are addicted to getting facial filler because it feels good and you get that high and it looks good temporarily, I really want you to think about build your facial foundation first. Think of the areas that are missing support laterally using biostimulators there, like temples, the high lateral cheekbones, the preauricular in front of the ear area to pull up the jawline, all the things that pull the face back. We can never put enough volume there. But things that pull your face forward, the cheeks, the lips, these things we need to use moderation, especially the under eyes. And just go delicately. Don't over-volumize. Remember subtlety. It's like jewelry. Put on all your jewelry and then go back. Take off one aspect of your makeup or one aspect of your jewelry or one aspect of your outfit and your accessories. Just take off one. Take off a little. And then you look just right. So avoiding the overuse of fillers. Number 4 on the list, opt for surgery when it's time. So as you age, you might realize that you're needing more and more things to be done to satisfy your results and to make sure you look like you're lifted and tighter. So sometimes we just really need to have a heart-to-heart talk with ourselves. And if we're standing in the mirror and pulling our cheek back and trying to hold more than a centimeter of skin on each side of the jawline or the jowl, you probably ought to be thinking of a surgical procedure. Mini lift, facelift, these are the times that we need to think about tightening up with trimming and surgical cutting. And not everybody's mentally there. So if you're not mentally ready to talk about surgery, I get that. But give yourself a 5-year plan and start gently coaching yourself towards that idea. Because very often the overuse of Botox and fillers can lead to problems, and we don't want an overfilled look. We want to opt for surgery at the right time. So when should the ideal age be for facelift? A few studies have been done that cite the age of 55 to 65 as the optimal time for facelift. And I really think it's dependent on how much skin excess you have. Do you have more than a centimeter of skin excess in the jawline, in the jowls, the lower face, in the brow drooping? Those are the times we need to think of surgery. And starting simply, oftentimes an upper eyelid blepharoplasty or a little brow lift is such a dramatic and lovely intervention because you'll see a huge improvement. It's a week of downtime. It's an hour of surgery. Blefs, upper blefs and lower blefs are one of my favorite things to do because patients feel 10 years younger, and it truly gives you the confidence to maybe a year or two later do what you need to do with the rest of your face and neck. And when you're really worried about your neck, that's truly the time to consider full face and neck lift. So that's number 4 on the list, is opting for surgery when it's time. Don't overuse fillers. Next on the list, number 5. Fillers used excessively without facial balancing and proportionalization can distort your features. And we don't want to see overuse of fillers. We want to use collagen biostimulators. We want to build foundation. That means things like Sculptra and Radius and Hyperdilute Radius. These are the products that are going to lay the foundation for the skin to become renewed. We're not talking about supporting old skin. We're talking about creating new collagen and new skin. And that, my friends, is literally amazing. The body's regenerative capacity is something we're just now tapping into, the ability of the human body and the cells to turn on collagen production. This is one of the crazy miracles of anti-aging, and regenerative medicine is just taking off. So while we have many tools, we have platelet-rich plasma, we have infrared light therapy, we have the use of exosomes, we have the use of collagen stimulators like PLLA or Sculptra, Radius, hyperdiluted Radius, products that are intermixed and mingled. We have Renuva, which is a fat substrate, and so many others that are on the market and coming. So I just want you to open your eyes to the fact that the body's regenerative powers are incredible, and we're just now tapping into that, let alone harvesting your hair follicle stem cells and using those stem cells. You are going to cryobank those stem cells and have them available for when the technology is here within our lifetimes, within the next 10 years. We are going to have the technology to take your own pluripotent stem cells harvested from your own hair follicles, bone marrow, or blood, or fat, and those cells can be grown up to create substrates for injectables, for topical treatment, for surgical. And they already are doing that in orthopedics and so many other fields. So I am just so excited about the power of regenerative medicine that is coming. So let's make sure that we harvest our stem cells and keep our eyes open and be very careful with the research. We cannot believe the claims of every company out there. When people cite the amount of exosomes in their bottle or the fact that they have millions of exosomes in the bottle, we can't be easily impressed. We need to look at the source of the product. We need to look at the stability of the product. We need to look at the claims that they're making and look at the FDA approvals, as well as look at the actual published white papers. Do they actually show some scientific improvements? So all of those things are so important. Number next on the list is improper Botox application and judicious use of Botox. Recently went to a conference where we talked about the number of units of Botox being injected becoming excessive. So when we as injectors are treating patients with multiple large muscle treatments, we got to be careful. We really have to look at long-term results. And if we're using 50 units on each trapezius, 20 or 30 units on each masseter muscle, and then we're shrinking calf size with Botox, or we're slimming the neck with Botox, we have so many units being delivered to patients. And then we might not even be aware that a patient has had a migraine treatment where they already had 100 or 200 units injected. So if patients have very high doses of toxin injected, they can become susceptible to resistance. They can become susceptible to antibody formation. Every single time we're getting a Botox injection, small amounts of proteins and additives are in these injections, and your body does treat that like a vaccination. So you can develop antibodies or resistance to high doses of toxin. And so we need to be very judicious with the use of toxins and really inquire with the history of what people have gotten done from their neurologist or their OMFS, headache specialist, their TMJ specialist, just to look at the overall picture. And certain toxins, like Xeomin, one of my favorites, has no junk proteins, no accessory junk proteins. So if you're getting a patient who has lots of high doses of toxin being administered, think about the choice of toxin being used. I'm a fan of using ultra-purified, but all the toxins are great. I use all of them in my practice. I want all patients to try each of them to see what really suits them best and what features they love. But just think about high doses and think about judicious use. Think about a little less use just because we want our muscles to remain strong and active. What about cheap and counterfeit products? Another thing that will mess up your face right here on the list, number six, cheap and counterfeit products. When products are used and they're brought into this country without FDA approval, when you're buying products online, like I see people can buy stuff on YouTube, I really just want to encourage you to be so careful when you're buying semaglutide or Ozempic shots that are compounded in pharmacies that you have no clue what the pharmacy is like, and you don't even know if it's legal. Why are you doing that? I had a patient who bought a peel, a chemical peel, on eBay and applied it to her face. And I just thought, how crazy is that? We don't know the ingredients. We don't know who made it. We don't know if they put battery acid in it or what. Like, what's even in that bottle? We don't know. Nothing that's been quantified, purified, FDA approved. It's just plain ridiculousness. So please, if you're seeing an injector who brings syringes into this country from other countries and gives you stuff on the lowdown in their garage or sells you things on eBay, or you want to buy some injectables on the World Wide Web, I just want to tell you you're being crazy. And I would not do that to my worst enemy. I certainly would not do that to my own face. If you're in California and you're getting semaglutide shots compounded and your med spa is just shooting you up, don't do that. You don't know what's in the bottle. Compounding is now illegal in California. So they're buying stuff from other states, shipping it in, and administering it. And everybody knows they're doing illegal steps all along the way. And there's no need to anymore. You can get a prescription for Zepbound, which is now FDA approved, not too hard to get on your insurance for the FDA approved use of weight loss. So that can be a medication. Imagine that it's prescribed, it's FDA approved, it's been tested. The studies show these tested ingredients and how they work. This is what I want to put in my body. Something that we have very factual data on. So be so careful with cheap or counterfeit products. Please don't do it. See, I've seen so many, too many problems on people's faces with products that can't be dissolved, products that we have no idea what's in them, silicone products, products that destroy tissues. You just have to be so careful. Number 7 on the list, neglecting sun protection. What's going to mess up your face this year? Probably more than anything on this list. 90% of your aging comes from the sun. So more than anything on this list, sun damage is going to mess you up. And it's this feeling that we don't have to worry about ultraviolet. We don't have to worry about sun when it's cold outside. These are all incorrect statements. We definitely need to worry about sun at high altitude. When I'm up here skiing, I need to be worried about the sun. There's less, you know, protection when we're high up in the sky. The ozone layer is depleted. I'm very careful because I really feel the older I get that the more sun damage breaks down my collagen, the less collagen I'm producing. When I'm in this age of perimenopause, I want to be so careful to preserve what I already have. I am a huge fan of our Ultimate SPF. It's SPF 50. I love it because it's tinted. I love it because it has iron oxides. It blocks blue light. Remember, sitting in front of the computer screen all day long is giving you so much blue light exposure. I'm a huge fan of this product. It makes you have an even skin tone, has a ton of antioxidants in it, and just really gives me a really good amount of coverage. I'm a big fan of sunscreen every single day. And I'm also eating ingredients in my diet that are antioxidants that are so beneficial to improving my sun exposure. So every day resveratrol, every day vitamin C, every day collagen powder is going into my food to help sustain me. These collagen peptides help build up broken down collagen. These are the building blocks that we need to keep our skin healthy. Number next on the list is aggressive chemical peels. So I see problems when people are overly aggressive with treating pigmentation. And I think you really need to understand that hyperpigmentation is a chronic skin condition. It's kind of like getting diabetes or asthma. You really will never be rid of it. You have to learn how to manage it. And people who do the best with hyperpigmentation are those who do really gentle, conservative, regular treatments. So while everyone wants that laser that's going to blast all your brown spots and be one and done, that just does not exist. And in fact, the high heat, high intensity treatments are the ones that create lots of brown spots. And you might look great for the first 6 months, but let me tell you, after 20 years of trying and using every laser personally, I think they're responsible for about 50% of my hyperpigmentation spots. Because it's just not true. High heat, whether you see the spots and the pigmentation immediately or delayed 8 to 10 months down the line, they are coming for you. There is something about the heat trigger that wakes up dermal melanocytes and gives you long-term chronic problems. So I'm a fan of gentler treatments, bleaching regimens, antioxidants. I think chemical peels are some of the best things that you can do. Low-grade, regular treatments that are not going to, you know, nuclear blast your skin, but low-grade exfoliation, use of retinol, use of hydroquinone. I have products that have natural lighteners. I think that's really important too, to not stay on hydroquinone too long, but switch over to the natural lighteners like kojic acid, emblica, vitamin C is a lightener, licorice root is a lightener. So many products now have combination therapy. I love to use the 5 or 6 products that lighten the skin on a regular basis to kind of treat the skin as needed. I will pre-treat my skin with a little small amount of hydrocortisone or topical steroid if I notice melasma flaring. That's another thing we can do to stop inflammation. I'm a big fan of treating inflammation because anything that makes the skin red and irritated is going to trigger pigmentation. So products that have a ton of green tea are very soothing. And I've actually stopped putting products directly on patches of melasma. I just think that when we have a brown spot, we attack it repeatedly. And just touching it every day is kind of problematic. So an overall approach to treating the whole skin, the whole cheek, versus just blasting everything right on that cheek spot of the brown. So try to switch your focus to conservative, low-grade, repeated treatments like light, gentle chemical peels, peel pads like 20% glycolic acid peel pads are great, anti-inflammatories, and lots of sunscreen. And then try to avoid heat. Sitting in front of a fireplace, going to hot yoga, when you're driving and the heat of the sun hits the skin on your cheek or your chest, and you can just feel the warmth, it feels good. But these are the things that turn on melanocytes. So also looking for heat triggers and trying to eliminate them. Keep the skin cool. After all, melasma, you know, that's nature's defense. Melanin is our defense against burning. So when we trigger and feel heat, we are going to turn on melanin-producing cells. That makes sense, right? Next on our list is inadequate aftercare and post-treatment. Patients don't do all the things we sometimes need them to be doing after care and after treatment. And I'm a big fan of incorporating multiple steps. So after your Botox, after your filler, it's not enough to just put on a little ice and wait 3 or 4 months and see you again in another quarter. You know, we want you to get in the habit of doing great things for yourself every single day. And I think if you're not using a hyaluronic acid, if you're not using a vitamin C for antioxidant and brightening, if you're not using a Retin A for collagen production and skin turnover, there's so many things you need to be doing. Starting in your 20s and starting in your teens, sunscreen. In your 20s, make sure you start vitamin C twice a day. Twice a day is best. Mornings are most important, but nighttime, vitamin C is a collagen cofactor. It really helps at night. In your 30s, start some Retin A every night at bedtime. Start with twice a week, work your way up to every single night at bedtime. In your 40s and 50s, let's make sure we're getting hyaluronic acid because the skin is drier and we need triple lipid moisturizers. And beyond that, 40, 50, 60 and beyond, stem cell growth factors. I love my Transform stem cell growth factor. This has ingredients that turn on collagen production at the cellular level. It makes cells behave more youthfully. We are harvesting these stem cell factors from petri dishes, and these ingredients that bathe embryonic stem cells are then infused into the skincare and really bathed in your skin. So your skin is surrounded by youthful products that teach the cells to behave more youthfully. I'm a big fan of stem cell growth factor, and I think in your 50s, 60s, and beyond, you must do collagen biostimulators to help maintain your collagenization. So it's not enough to just do, you know, these treatments where you come in, you get your stuff, and you had your Botox, you look nice and smooth for the next 4 months, and then you do nothing in between. So inadequate care surrounding your injectables, that is going to mess up your face. And those, my friends, those are my top tips. I think we got through 10 tips for the top 10 things that might mess up your face in 2024. ways to avoid them, ways to improve. Always trying to give you the best info. I hope you all have the most happy new year, and may 2024 bring us all some much needed calm, slowness, and a return to really feeling good about our lives, about the nature around us, about friends and family. So make this a year to focus more on you and the things that make you happy. And do little things. The self-care is a big, important step. Thinking of you always. Love to all my friends. And thank you for listening. This is my passion project, and I'm so glad to have met so many of you through my podcast, through our social media. Don't forget to check us out at Beauty by Dr. K on Instagram and TikTok and everywhere those platforms are. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.